Tonight is Saturday, April the 5th, 2014. We're not Seventh-day Adventists, but sometimes we have special services. We're going to sing Psalm 36b. Thy mercy, Lord, extends to him. Thy faithfulness the sky. Thy justice is like mounts of God. Thy justness death defy. Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How precious, God, thy grace. Beneath the shadow of thy wings, his sons their trust shall place. They with the bounty of thy house shall be well satisfied. From rivers full of thy delights, thou dost their drink provide. Because the fountain filled with life is only found with thee, and in that purest light of thine we clearly light shall see. To them that know thee evermore, thy loving kindness show, and still on men of a bright heart thy righteousness bestow. Let not the foot of pride crush me, nor wicked hand detain. Their evildoers fall thrust down, they cannot rise again. Okay, page 35, Psalm 30a. O Lord, I will exalt you, for you have lifted me. My foes you have allowed not to glory over me. O Lord, my God, I plead that you might heal and save. Lord, you from death have ransomed and kept me from the grave. His saints will praise Jehovah and thank his holy name. His anger lasts a moment, his grace a whole lifetime. For sorrow like a pilgrim may tarry all the night, but then a shout of joy comes when dawns the morning light. In prosperous days I boasted, unmoved I shall remain. O Lord, you by your favor my mouth and strength maintain. For when your face was hidden, I soon will trouble sore. I'll cry to you, Jehovah, the Lord I will implore. Is there in my blood prophet, when in the grave I dwell, will dust proclaim your praises, your truth and glory tell. Oh, hear me now, Jehovah, be gracious unto me. To you I cry, Jehovah, oh, now my helper be. You now have turned my sorrow to dancing full of joy. You loosened all my sackcloth and girded me with joy. To you sing songs my glory and never silent be. O Lord my God, I'll thank you through all eternity.
Page 37, Psalm 34c.
In every time, always bless the Lord. His praise will ever be within my mouth. My soul will make its boasting in the Lord. Let all the humble hear it and be glad. Oh, join with me to magnify the Lord. Let us together raise his name on high. I sought the Lord, and he has answered me, and he from all my terrors set me free. Oh, look to him, be radiant unashamed. This poor man cried, the Lord from trouble saved. The Lord's own angel constantly encamps around those fearing him and rescues them. Oh, taste and you will see the Lord is good. How happy is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, all you he has redeemed. For those who fear him never suffer want. Young lions hunger, they may lack their food. But those who seek the Lord shall have no want.
Dear Lord, we pray that you would be with us in the service tonight. Pray that your word would be open to us. Pray that you would give us encouragement and comfort from your word and instruction. We ask in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen. I'm going to be looking at a passage of Scripture tonight in the first Psalm, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Okay, now I want to go back to 26th Psalm for a minute and read a passage there. The 26th Psalm, Psalm 26. He says, verse 1, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. And I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with disassemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. And I also want to look at the passage in Jeremiah, and basically I want to look at the Jeremiah 15th chapter. Jeremiah 15 and beginning with the 15th verse. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with my indignation. Now I want to look also at a scripture in Proverbs 14th chapter, Proverbs 14th chapter. Verse 16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the foolish rageth and is confident. He says, verse 18, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. In verse 22, do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. Now I want to also look in the John, the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter and the 14th verse. He says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. Now, I want to just talk tonight a little bit about the current state of this world. I was talking to someone recently, and he said to me, we're living in a different world today. We're living in a different world today. And I guess the intention was to demonstrate that this world is becoming more and more troublesome and more without morals and more without absolutes. Now, God's law does not change, and Jesus Christ does not change. We can see that we can count on His word. We're all around us, people are seeking to make changes. Obama's whole platform was on change. Hope and change. Hope and change. And he certainly has made a lot of changes, but he has left a lot of people without hope. Change doesn't necessarily bring hope. And hope doesn't necessarily bring change. God said in His Word that His Word is non-changing. I want to look at a passage. He says, let's look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. God is to be trusted. His word is to be trusted. And we see in the first verse, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and they that seek Him with the whole heart. He says that in the 11th verse, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. 16, I will delight myself in Thy statutes, I will not forget Thy word. Now, we also know that there's been many, many efforts to change the Word of God. And it was brought about by a lie. It was prefabricated on a lie. someone decided that they were going to make a name for themselves and concocted, came up with a fake translation out of the trash can, tried to say that it was better than Textus Receptus, the authorized King James Version of the Bible. And out of that we have the Latin Vulgate. We also have, of course, the Douay Rheims version. We also have the New English translation. The King James version has now been changed to the New King James version, and now we have the New International version, and now we have Revised Standard Version and the American Standard Version, which is now being used by both Catholic and Protestant alike. And the reason being is people are wanting to change the Word of God, because there are certain things in the authorized King James Version of the Bible that people cannot accept and subscribe to, like the virgin birth of Christ, for an example. Like the fact that Joseph was not Jesus' father. Like the fact that Jesus wasn't just born of a woman. He was born of a virgin. And many, many, many other things that have been changed in the Bible. And we're saying today that because of all of these changes in the Bible, we see it has a direct impact upon our society, upon our culture, upon our daily living. Because what has happened is now people have accepted the fact that if you change one thing in the Bible, you can change many, many, many things. I recently saw a website with the new district superintendent of the Wesleyan Church. For the first time now is a woman. And, you know, she has many messages on YouTube. The general superintendent of the Wesleyan Holiness Church is a woman. And also, we see throughout the United States, Canada, and the world, many, many women are being ordained into the ministry. And then you wonder why you have all of these wimps for husbands that are not taking the headship of their home, because the Bible says that the women will rule over them. Why you have people, even down to people, well, that at one time would have taken a very strong position about the man's headship in the home, and now they're just totally turning their eyes away from it. You know, we are also, many people, as young people, were not taught in their home the right morals. They weren't read the Bible. They were read parts of the Bible. They weren't taught about the prohibitions of incest. They weren't taught about the prohibitions of homosexuality. They weren't taught about the prohibitions of sodomy, bestiality. And now we wonder why our society is full of fornicating homosexual sodomites that are now going toward bestiality. Why? Well, he says, there's very, very profound solution to all of this. The 13th chapter of Zechariah, he says, "In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanliness." Notice that. Do you sense your uncleanliness? Do you sense your trespasses? Do you sense your alienation from God? Do you sense your separation from God? Here Jeremiah says, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanliness." "And it shall come to pass in that day," verse 4, "that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands?" Verse 5, 6. "Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." Here we have a messianic prophecy of Jesus Christ coming as the shepherd, and how he was wounded in the house of his friends, and how the sheep were scattered. And we know that Jesus Christ has come and paid on the cross for his people. It's something that many, many people, including Charles Finney and John Wesley, denied, the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ, which is really amazing. The two most profound leaders in American revivalism denied the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ, and then I wondered why I never heard about it until I was 37 years old. Now, why are people not teaching the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Why are they preaching a works doctrine? Why? Well, there's several reasons. One is people, the Bible says, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. Narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, and few there be that find it." Now, if we go back to the 40th chapter of Isaiah, we find that there is a great difference between those who are God's people and those who are not God's people. Isaiah is proclaiming the gospel here. This is a proclamation of the good news. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to the whole world. Is that what it says? No. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. That's why I can say that Christ has paid for my past, my present, and my future sins, because Christ has already paid the work on the cross. It says your iniquity is pardoned. She has received of the Lord's hands double for all her sins. Well, he says in verse 10, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him." Who is the Lord God Who is this that's coming with a strong hand and his arm shall rule for him? He's speaking of Jesus Christ. His reward is with him and his work before him. Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. That's why it says that his work was before him. Before he was born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Well, now we're going to go back to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. We're talking tonight about all the changes in the world and the solution to these that are walking absent of the law of God and those who are walking absent of any kind of moral virtues. There is a solution. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Do you believe that? Well, says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, speaking of Jesus Christ, shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. You know, there's so many people that paint Jesus Christ as this beautiful figure, and that, you know, he was all loving and kind, and he never said anything wrong or hateful to anybody, and he never displayed his wrath and all of this. And this is a fake Jesus, because he was despised and rejected of men. They killed him. They hated him so much. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. And we hid our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before your shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. That is called substitutionary atonement. When he made his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant, who is the righteous servant? Jesus Christ. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. That is substitutionary atonement. That is what that is. We were told in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah by Isaiah the prophet that for all of God's people, Christ has borne their iniquities on the cross and paid for them. And people get all angry when you tell them that all of your sins have been paid for on the cross. He says that he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's what it says. Now, the question is, has he done that for you? Has he done that for me? That's the question. Because we know he did it for some, not all. We also know that there's another passage that we've covered many times in our messages on sermon audio, and that is in John 6, 34 through 40. All that the Father hath given me will come to me, and all that come to me I will in no wise cast out. No man can pluck them out of my hand. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. For I and my Father are one. And in Romans 8, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It is Christ that died. Hath not the potter, Romans 9, power over the clay to make one vessel unto honor and one unto dishonor? Now we've just covered a lot of ground in a short order. What have we covered? Well, we've covered Romans 8, 28 through 32. For those whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And those he did predestinate, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies your soul. And living in this fallen world, I was talking to someone and they asked me, how are you and your family doing? And I said, we're doing pretty good considering we're living in the fallen world. But the only way we're doing any good is through the aid of our Savior. Underneath us are the everlasting arms. And we look to Christ as our sustenance. The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. He maketh us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our soul. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for he is with us. He prepareth a table before us in the presence of our enemies, and anointeth our head with oil. Our cups run over. Surely good and mercy, goodness and mercy is with us, and he shall be with us forever. Forever, not just in the good times, but throughout our lives. Sometimes it amazes me how people, to me, it's very amazing to me how people have such a change of attitude when somebody dies. And all of a sudden they want to start exalting and worshiping the dead. We should not be worshiping and exalting dead people. We should be worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ said, let the dead bury their dead. And I will say this openly on the air. When I die, I do not want a memorial service. I don't want anybody coming to memorialize me. If you want to talk to me, you better talk to me while I'm alive. Don't expect any memorial service. And you know what? We can celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We don't celebrate Christ's death. We celebrate his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Paul said that if Christ had not died and if he had not risen again, we would be yet in our sins. And his death was the thing that was instrumental, because he bore our sins on the tree. His death was what was instrumental in giving us forgiveness of sin. He bore our body on the tree. So tonight, let us remember that when we are going through these unbelievable trials and tests in our life, and it looks like the whole world is crushing it around us, let us remember that Christ went through the same thing. In fact, it says in a place in the Bible that all of his disciples forsook him. All of them. It wasn't just Judas that forsook him. All of them forsook him. And you know what? We have forsaken Christ many times. We are traitors ourselves to his perfect law and to his love that he has extended to all of his people. And yet, he has been gracious to grant unto us continual grace. His mercies are new every morning. His grace is new every morning for his people. So let us remember that if you're looking for hope and change, you're looking for the wrong thing. Hope can be found in the absolute completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross and bearing his sins for all of his people. Do we have a selection? Page 200.
From far, with his garments dipped in blood, strong triumphant traveler, is he man or is he God? I that reign in righteousness, Son of God and man I am, mighty to redeem your race, Jesus is your Savior's name. Why ye heavenly gates unfold, foes no more by death and sin. Lo, the conquering Lord, behold, comes the King of glory in. Hark, the angelic host inquire, who is he, the Almighty King? Hark again the answering choir, thus in strains of triumph sing. He whose powerful arm alone on his foes destruction hurled, he who hath the victory won, he who saved you by his blood, he who God's pure law fulfilled, Jesus the incarnate Word, he whose truth with blood was sealed, he is heaven's all-glorious Lord.
Dear Lord, be with us today. We're sorry for our sin. We love you, our Lord. Amen.
Father, we do thank you for your word and the comfort it gives us and the assurance that we have that your work is complete. We pray that you help us to always remember this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.